And joining us now here on Market Talk, let's get caught up on the weather situation for the week ahead. Eric Snodgrass with Nutrien Ag Solutions. And Eric, I know over the weekend, we should start there. We've been watching all this heat and this front that's working its way to the east. And it was a pretty prime setup for some nasty tornadoes and a derecho event in North Dakota over the weekend. And I know we also lost a few lives. Our thoughts are with folks across North Dakota that were impacted, but just looking at severe weather, that was really the talk of the weekend, it seemed, along with the heat.
Yeah, I mean, the entire setup for this is the fact that the Bermuda High has shifted to Nashville, so it's actually where you are, just making things really, really hot in that section of the country. So around the periphery of it, we always have to monitor for severe weather. And on Friday, we saw kind of the worst of the worst. There was a storm system that started in western North Dakota. By the time it got to Bismarck, it had lined out, and it was moving at 70 to 100 miles an hour. Even behind the storm, we had what's called a wake low that develops in the wake of the storm, and it kept the winds very, very strong as well. On the leading edge, we spun up numerous tornadoes, and yes, it was a pretty tragic night, and I hope. You know, as a meteorologist, you have to say that some of that is fascinating until you realize the lives impacted by it, and it's extremely sobering. And in the meantime, you know, at one point we had over 200 million people in the United States under some sort of heat advisory, heat watching warning. And that front that's coming through the northern plains will be very welcome to cool things back off after what's been a pretty extremely hot, you know, go of it here as we work our way toward the end of the month of June. But much of the eastern Corn Belt, the southeast, getting over toward the northeast, you still have several more days of above-average temperatures. So, yeah, what a way to finish a month. And it just got us all thinking, like, all right, the atmosphere has done nothing but be polarizing since the start of spring, right? It's been either really hot or really cold, or it's been extremely wet or extremely dry. It's been extremely stormy, or some places can't buy a storm. And you just wonder if that's the way the rest of the summer is going to go.
That's very true. And let's think about this as we're nearing the end of the month of June. We're going to head into July. I know you and I have talked about for several months, you know, what we could be looking at for potential drought risk and more, and maybe some easing on that, or at least a delay on some of that. I mean, as you look ahead to the month of July, Eric, what are you tracking with some of the latest forecasts? What are the models telling you?
Yeah, so the end of June is Ring of Fire, right? So you're going to have isolated storms inside of the high-pressure cell. That's the eastern Corn Belt, mid-south, lower Mississippi Valley. But all around the edge, starting like New Mexico, going through parts of Kansas, eastern Nebraska, Iowa. I mean, Iowa's got a chance of picking up 2 to 4 inches of rain over the next 7 or 8 days. And that then gets into parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin. So it runs the periphery of the ridge. And then we want to know where that ridge is going to be by the time we get into July. Now, if you look at any long-range forecast for the month of July, it's got drier weather in the Canadian Prairie that then extends down into Montana, the Northern Plains, and gets into the Central Plains and Western Corn Belt. That's in the European model. That's in the new CPC forecast. And I went out there and I'm like, why are all the models doing this? And, you know, when you hunt down the different atmospheric drivers, mainly, we're looking at a lot of ocean temperature correlations, and they do point to a drier central United States in July. But, you know, these same drivers have been around for a while. I'm talking about fading La Nina, the cold water off the coast of California, the temperatures in the Atlantic, all of it does. Yet the atmosphere outdid all of those drivers in spring, giving us this record wet spring in, the mid-south to the southern plains. So there's a lot of uncertainty in all of this. And I would tell you that I feel as though the markets, there's no weather premium in the markets right now, but I would just tell you that that story could come on in a heartbeat. And all of a sudden we may be staring down the barrel of a weather premium based off of either too much rain in some places and not enough in others. So I would just say that I don't expect July to do anything different than spring did. And what I mean by that is, I expect it to be major disparity, high across geography and across time, major differences in precipitation and temperature. And, you know, the crop doesn't really thrive in that. It could do okay in that, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't break records in that kind of weather. So add all of that to the fact that Europe is really hot and dry right now, and you've got yourself an interesting story finishing 1 month and starting what we could argue is the most critical month for the crop.
Talk to us about what we're seeing with Europe right now. Let's go and take a snapshot of what's happening around the world. And you bring up the dry weather. I know that's something that's been permeating through the wheat markets, for instance. As you take a look at what's happening in Europe and the Black Sea region, what stands out to you as we round out the month?
Yeah, so here's what's interesting. There's a deep trough of low pressure stuck in the North Atlantic, all right? Now, I didn't expect that to be there. If you would have asked me all spring long, I would have expected a ridge to be there, but instead there's a trough. So where's the ridge? It's over Europe, and it stretches from France all the way to Ukraine. It's hot, it's dry, it's stormy in the Russian wheat belt, but only part of it, the southern Russian wheat belt near Turkey, is not getting much rainfall. And then that pattern continues all the way over to parts of Asia. China, just like the United States, has major ranges in their precipitation pattern, while India's taken all this heat and cranking up an early monsoon. So the Indian monsoon started early, and it's going pretty, I mean, I'll be honest with you, it feels ramped up in a big way. And then you go down into Indonesia, very wet, Australia, South Australia, Western Australia, Victoria, New South Wales, all very, very dry, not breaking their drought. So it's not just the United States seeing these kind of precipitation extremes. It's all around the world.
What about South America? Any updates on what we're seeing with Brazil and Argentina here, Eric?
You know, southern Brazil is pretty wet right now, but they can be wet this time of year. Central and northern Brazil, this is a dry season, so they're dry as expected. It's how they harvest that Safrinha crop, which, remember, that Safrinha crop finished extremely well with plenty of rainfall. So I imagine we're going to continue to hear those numbers be supportive on the upside. But, you know, it's kind of crazy to say all they have is July, August, and by the end of September, they're already starting to talk about getting the next crop going. So pretty soon, Jesse, we'll be talking about South America again for a long time.
Eric, good thoughts as always. Anything final you're watching here at home or around the world this week when it comes to the weather?
I would just say this. I normally discount the rhetoric around how a La Nina handles summer weather. And generally that's because La Nina isn't typically a dominant summer type feature. It's a dominant winter type feature for North America. But I had a comment on my YouTube channel the other day that said maybe this is more of the atmosphere is behaving more of like a sympathetic La Nina. I like that phrasing because I'll be honest with you, the way these ocean temperatures are playing out, it's like we're getting very Nina-like precipitation and temperature patterns which are, you know, in winter quite extreme. Well, they've been quite extreme in summer. So I don't know. Maybe there's more to this La Nina that I need to be paying attention to.
Well, that's something we'll continue to track with you, of course. And folks can go to agweather.com, ag-wx.com for more information. With that, Eric Snodgrass, Nutrient Ag Solutions. Good to hear from you, my friend. Have an awesome week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.